So earlier this month, a new documentary appeared on Netflix entitled Reversing Roe. Now, I've seen a slew of documentaries about abortion, and I went into this one very sarcastically, expecting to be bombarded with pro-life rhetoric and biblical messages. I hadn't heard of the documentary, but judging from the title, Reversing Roe, I fully expected it to be a pro-life endeavor. What followed in the next hour and a half is what we are going to spend the next half hour talking about. In this episode of Lessons from the Screen, we're going to be looking at the documentary from Ricky Stern and Annie Songbird entitled Reversing Roe. Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trash, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious. And we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to. Welcome to Lessons from the Screen, the show where we give you a review of whether or not any particular information that you can get from any particular screen of any particular kind is worth your time. We waste our time, our energy, and our brain power so that you don't have to. You're welcome. Lessons from the Screen is sponsored by PacSync, a Black activist advocacy and think tank with the purpose of increasing the quality of life for Black people in America through education, economics, and the culture shift. You can check them out at www.pactsinc.org. That's pactsinc.org. Leave a review, leave a comment, make a donation, volunteer, become a member. Do whatever you can. Spread the word to help them because they are doing whatever they can to help you. And without further ado, we are going to bring to you this episode of Lessons from the Screen. As I said earlier, we're going to be diving into the 2018 documentary by Ricky Stern and Annie Songbird, entitled Reversing Roe, and it can be found on Netflix. Now, as I said before, this particular documentary was a documentary that I was anticipating to be a very pro-life documentary, given the title, a documentary that was going to be heavy in scripture, a documentary that was going to be heavy in rhetoric, and that was just going to be kind of another tool of propaganda. And so I was immediately caught off guard when it started from a historical lens, because as I've said, I've seen lots of documentaries about abortion, but few of them start from the historical lens of this is what it was like prior to Roe versus Wade from the female perspective. Most of the ones that I've seen, if they are going to cover that historical period of time prior to Roe versus Wade, when abortions were largely not talked about and not legal and it wasn't really a supported endeavor, they do it from the standpoint of the religious institution or from the standpoint of the government or from the standpoint of some other sort of political action organization. So the way that they dove into this from the perspective of the women that were actually getting the abortions, getting these black alley, dark corner, piracy type abortions, was, and even that some of the images that they showed of the failed abortions, for me was a little bit new. Not saying that I hadn't seen it before at all, but it isn't a common thing. So they started out there talking about dark abortions happening. They moved on and they began to talk about the various political ramifications surrounding what was becoming an issue and around the feminist movement and how women began to feel empowered and how they began to explore the ability that they had to push back on what they viewed as oppression. Now, what's also interesting is that in these opening scenes, the pro-choice side of this discussion was all women. And the pro-life side of this discussion was all men. And it presented that to me anyways, was an interesting way to frame the narratives of You have the women over here saying that this is a woman's issue. This is a personal issue, and you don't have the right to tell us what to do with our bodies. And then over here on the other side, you had the men who, and we know that there are plenty of women in the pro-life movement. We know that there are. And they actually show some of them in this film, and they had speaking roles and everything. But it was still just interesting because, on, like I said, on the pro-life side, you had the men who were presenting their argument as to how the fetus is important and how life starts at conception and how this is murder and how it's not a matter for the woman. It's a matter for the state to prevent murder and this, that, and the third. So that was an interesting way to open the scenario up. And I'm sure there'll be some people that'll be turned off simply by that. But I found it interesting and intriguing that, I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I did find it intriguing that they chose to create that sort of visual for the opening scenes of the documentary. They moved on and they talked about, again, like I said, the political developments. But what was also interesting was Ronald Reagan, and all of us, liberal or conservative alike, we understand that Ronald Reagan is largely seen as a deity of the Republican Party. He is Lord God and Savior of the Republican Party. So Ronald Reagan was not a face, and admittedly, I hadn't looked too much into Ronald Reagan's political history as governor of California outside of some of the things he had done, you know, surrounding weapons and weapon reforms and things of that nature. So I did find it interesting to see that he actually signed abortion reforms as well as the governor of California, and was very much what one would consider to be a pro-choice person, as was most of the Republican establishment at that time. And there you have this interesting, and the documentary didn't present this, but I found it interesting that you had this interesting historical case where, just like with black people in slavery and civil rights and things of that nature, it was the Republican Party that was the party of freedom, the party of equality, the party of people being able to self-determine and self-express, which is interesting in so many ways because it paints this even greater picture of how drastically different the Republican Party of today is from the Republican Party of, say, the 50s and the 60s, and in this case, even the 70s. Well, the early 70s. So that was interesting because it did showcase how the Republican Party took the lead on making abortions legal. Now, they moved into the discussion about the Catholic Church, which also was interesting because we know as well that the Catholic Church is largely, well, religion, period, religious institutions, period, are largely the institutions at this point that are pushing back on abortions. These are the people that are involved in the pro-life movement are very religious people, and they're largely led by the clergy of the Catholic Church and the priesthood and the pastorships of various other denominations of Christianity. So I thought that was interesting that the Catholic Church in 1970 opened the first legal abortion clinic in the USA in New York City and conducted over 100 abortions a day. You heard that right. And that was a claim that was made by the documentary. One that I did a little bit of research on. You don't have to do a lot of research, but you find that there is some truth to that claim. So that was interesting, in that the Catholic Church opened the first legal abortion clinic in the USA. And it was after they opened that clinic that leaders within the Catholic Church began to push back against abortion. And in some ways, you could say that there was a sort of a civil war going on within the Catholic Church as to what to do about abortion. Now, one of the interesting things that shows the complete turn that the Republican Party has gone through is that in this documentary, they showcased the 1972 Gallup poll that showed that 68% of Republicans believed that abortion was a personal issue between a woman and her doctor. This was in 1972. Now, I'm not no expert or nothing, but I'm pretty sure if you ran that same poll today with Republicans, you would get a vastly different result. Now, when it comes to Roe versus Wade, one of the things that's seldom talked about and that they did mention in this documentary was that originally abortion was considered a social and medical issue, and that the women during the case didn't argue conception. They argued that women should have the right to determine for themselves what they were going to do with their bodies. So the issue was not murder at the time. The issue was not religion or spirituality. The issue was not when does life begin. The issue was none of those things for those women that argue Roe versus Wade. The issue was simply, it's my body and I have the right to do with it whatever I want. And the conservative court agreed. And this is something else we have to remember, because a lot of times you hear a lot of people saying that a conservative court will overturn Roe versus Wade. But in every instance of a challenge to Roe versus Wade, including the original Roe versus Wade, the Supreme Court was a conservative court. The Supreme Court has almost always been conservative. So a Supreme Court has held up, created and held up this standard of Roe versus Wade. And in fact, what you need to overturn Roe versus Wade is not a conservative court. You need an ultra religious court. But in any case, what Roe versus Wade effectively said was that abortion was legal in the first two trimesters. In the final trimester, it was only viable if it saved the woman's life. But it also said that the courts, the governments could not do anything to impede a woman's right to get an abortion. Basically, women had unrestricted access to abortion. Now, Planned Parenthood, which is another organization that we oftentimes talk about with regards to abortion, originally didn't want to do abortions. They were very split about it. But they eventually decided to go with supporting women's rights, and those that disagreed left the organization. Now, this is something that was talked about in the documentary. Now, the courts giving women the right to control their bodies, that transitioned the issue from a back alley issue that no one cared about, because prior to Roe versus Wade, women were still getting abortions. They were just getting abortions in dark alleys, and all of these pro-lifers, they were virtually non-existent. So, well, and not to say they didn't exist, but to say that they weren't politically engaged, they weren't socially engaged, they weren't morally engaged, they weren't culturally engaged, they weren't engaged in the process of trying to weed out these dark alley abortion providers and stop them from doing it. Not from anything that I've read or that I can see. I could be wrong on that. So the courts given the right for women to control their bodies transitioned the issue from a back alley issue that no one cared about to a political partisan issue and even nearly a military issue, and created the religious surge that sparked and continues to fuel the pro-life movement. And the power of the pro-life movement has grown to such a level that you can become an elected official simply by being pro-life with no consideration of your skills in certain states like Texas. Again, this is something else that was touched on in the documentary and something that should not be overlooked or taken lightly. Now, I will say this, in the midst of all of that, there was a scene in the documentary at about the 35-minute mark where Randall Terry, who is a pro-life activist and the founder of Operation Rescue, is debating Faye Waddleton, who was at the time the head of Planned Parenthood and a black woman, and he accused her of being a traitor to her race. Now, it was clearly rhetoric aimed at an emotional response, which we could probably do a whole show just on this exchange alone, with all the connotations and messages carried by that exchange. But it was an exchange that I feel like if you sit down to watch this documentary, you should definitely pay attention to that and have a conversation about the relationship to white people and their use of the race card, as they call it, when it fits them. Also, the dynamic of white males and black females. But the people in the pro-life movement began bombing and shooting up clinics, which is why I said it became almost a military movement. And these people were all driven by their religion and at the urge of the leaders of their religion. And that statement that I just said right there, that these people were all driven by their religion, this statement was made in the documentary by a priest, of all people. And one of the key strategies mentioned with regards to the pro-life movement and Operation Rescue was getting the doctors to opt out of being abortionists. So the strategy is, if there aren't anybody, if there isn't anybody to provide the abortion, then the laws don't matter because there are no doctors to perform the procedure. And there are 7 states that only have 1 abortion provider in the state. And right now, there is a war going on in all of these states to eliminate these single abortion clinics by Republican politicians and Republican leadership, effectively making those states abortion-free states because there's nobody willing to provide the service. So one of the other things that was mentioned that I think is really key in the documentary is that the documentary asserted that segregation academies, which resulted from white flight following the desegregation of schools, segregation academies wanted to be exempt, and they were largely religious-based and run establishments. But the federal court said that many institutions that discriminated would not be eligible for federal funds, and that and the documentary asserted that this is really what got the religious establishment politically active in white communities. They wanted the ability to get government funds for their schools, but the government said that they couldn't have government funding for their schools because they were discriminating against black people. Now, again, we could do a whole show on segregation academies, because a lot of people think Roe versus Wade is blah, 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 and schools ended up resegregated because of blah, blah, blah. But the fact of the matter is, when black people started going to white schools, white people started pulling their kids out and setting up their own private institutions where they could maintain their systems and maintain the status quo. And these schools became segregation academies, and these schools were largely run by religious organizations and institutions. And that's something that I think needs to be talked about. It also talked about the evangelical movement codifying their racism and abortion becoming an issue that they could utilize to galvanize the religious conservatives and gain religious freedoms to enact their codified racist beliefs with government funding. So in that sense, the pro-life movement was simply a beneficiary of the actions of the racist evangelical movement. The documentary went on to a lot of different angles and a lot of different directions. So when we move on and start talking about takeaways, lessons, and observations, the single most important takeaway from this documentary, in my opinion, for anybody watching it that's involved in any sort of organization or that feels passionate to fight about any particular issue, is strategy. This documentary spent a considerable amount of time talking about the strategies utilized by the pro-life movement and about the reactions of the pro-choice movement. And it could largely be inferred from this documentary that the pro-choice movement is on its heels because it doesn't seem to have a plan outside of reacting to the things that the pro-life movement does. The pro-life movement largely seems to be in the driver's seat of the discussion and of the engagement. They seem to be in control. Now, the pro-choice movement does have on its side the fact that the law is there backing them. But that seems to be all that they have on their side, because the strategies and the tactics being employed by the pro-life movement are pushing back strongly against the pro-choice movement, and they are in several places close to achieving their goals without changing the law. So when we get into this conversation about strategy, we begin to talk about recognizing failures. In multiple instances in this documentary, they had pro-life speakers talking about recognizing where they had failed and moving on to a new particular plan. This is how we got the whole partial birth abortion movement, where you see nowadays with the people in the pictures and the rhetoric about how living babies are being disassembled as they're ripped out of the wombs of mothers, or living babies are being pulled partial way out and murdered in the abortion clinic and things of that nature. This is where you're getting stories like that. This is also where you're getting stories about because the partial birth abortion was actually a new strategy convened by the pro-life movement to push back on the gains being made by the pro-choice movement under President Bill Clinton. And that in and of itself was a new strategy being engaged after they had gotten a conservative majority on the court and still had not gotten Roe versus Wade overturned. They decided they needed something new, something stronger. Partial birth abortions became what they began to stand on. And that's something that's still having an effect nowadays. The strategy that they had of the tactic that they had of being able to galvanize the conservative movement and get the evangelical movement to become essentially the base of the Republican Party. The strategy that they had then of using that base to force politicians that were seeking Republican nominations to become pro-choice or pro-life, regardless of their former pro-choice history. Reagan, Daddy Bush, and Bush Jr. all were pro-choice candidates, pro-choice people in their personal lives that became pro-life candidates when it came to their presidential nominations. There's also a lot to be said about long-term planning. And one of these things, one of the national pro-life organizations spoke to the fact that they've had a plan for years and years and decades, and they're acting on that plan. So you're talking about long-term planning. You're talking about strategic and tactical readjustments. You're talking about continuously surveying the landscape. All of these things are at play, and it all begins to make sense for how you can have such a systemic and seemingly institutionalized and powerful pushback against something that should be settled law. If there is one thing that you pull from this, it should be strategy. And we could go all day and do a whole show again just on the nature of the different strategies and tactics utilized in this thing. I do want to say another additional takeaway is that Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sandra Day O'Connor, both, and Bader Ginsburg is somebody that is commonly, especially with the Brett Kavanaugh nomination in the hearing, where they refer to the Ginsburg rule of not speaking on theoretical cases that you might have to face as a judge. Bader Ginsburg and Sandra Day O'Connor and a few other justices at that time spoke very clearly during their nomination hearings about how they felt about abortion. So I thought that was interesting, because nowadays a nominee would never make statements like those statements that they made. But with that being said, strategy is the takeaway here: recognizing failure, adjusting tactics, long-term planning, political strategy, community engagement, alliances and allegiances, patience. All of these things were on display in this documentary. And all of these things are things that we as a community need to take more seriously in our pushback against white supremacy racism and in our pushback against structural and institutional racism. Now, with all that being said, this documentary had a clear bias to pro-choice. So that's a point off right there. I don't like clear biases in documentaries. I don't mind bias, but I don't like clear bias. I understand it's difficult to eliminate bias, but you can make more of an effort to not be so clear in your perspective. And I'm against the general push of documentaries into propaganda pieces to begin with, anyways. So even with that bias, though, I will say it did have a balanced presentation. It offered both sides a chance to speak, and both sides were given a chance to speak clearly and to elaborate their points as thoroughly as needed to be. Now, the pro-choice side did have considerably more screen time, but it's not like the pro-life side was not given significant screen time in what was a documentary that was biased against them. So, you know, there are points back for that. It presented facts and figures, it provided history and context, and covered the subject fairly well. It did fly off on tangents a bit that could have been connected better to the overall message of the documentary with regards to racism, especially. The whole thing on segregation academies was just kind of thrown out there and left. And it does bother me how casually documentaries bring up the race discussion without really fleshing it out or doing a good job of connecting it to the issue at hand for the average person. But they at least mentioned it. On the whole, I would give this documentary a solid 4.5 out of 5. And at no point did I ever feel like it was too long. The only major strike I have against it is the clear bias. But that is compensated for by having representation from both sides of the issue. Now, I have a few minor issues, additional minor issues, like the one I mentioned with the race relations, you know, in the evangelical movement that could have been tied in better together or fleshed out more. The other issues, the partial birth abortions, that could have been fleshed out more. And the reason I say that is because partial birth abortions has become a serious issue, a serious conversational sticking point. And while they did talk about it, they did give information about it, they did talk about its real impact and how minimal it is and how we're spending 99% of our time talking about something that's less than 1% of the total abortions, they didn't really dig into it the way they could have if they really wanted to squash what it was and what's going on and blah, 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 in my opinion. But on the whole, this was a very good, very well put together documentary that gives food for thought, historical context, and conversational points to be had. If you are new to the world of political abortions, this documentary will get you up to political speed and have you in the know enough to get going in other areas. This was a very good documentary. It covered the subject of abortion with a lot of variety, a lot of diversity, and a considerable amount of depth. There's a lot in this documentary, and I simply did not get into it with the time that I have because I didn't want the show to be just as long, if not longer, than the actual documentary itself. And we want to keep some surprises in the films for you. We don't want to take away and have you feel like you know what's in the documentary, so now you don't even have a reason to watch it. This was a very good documentary, though. Very deep documentary, and you should definitely take time to watch it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Lessons from the Screen, and I will see you next week. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Lessons from the Screen, what we mean is we go through different documentaries to tell you what they gon' do. Give you our lessons, give them our blessings. If they trust, we tell you there is no second guessing. Knowledge is power, but time is precious, and we're here to keep you from them lessons. So sit back as we groove, giving you the review, so you only spend time on the docs that you need to.
Once again, I want to thank you for tuning in to Lessons from the Screen. Lessons from the Screen is brought to you by PacSync. Through the Freedom Train Network, you can find us on www.freedomtrainradio.com or on iTunes, Google Play Music, or Stitcher. Be sure to head to one of those places and leave us a review, and then be sure to head back to the website to let us know what you think about the show and communicate with us. Also, be sure to head to www.pacsync.org and show some love and support for our sponsors. PacSync is doing big things in the community and trying to do more, always trying to do more. So be sure to head to the website. That's www.pacsinc.org. Donate, volunteer, become a member, talk about it, whatever. They can use your support. And once again, they are doing great things in the community. And As always, Lessons from the Screen has a frame of reference and perspective that is aligned with that of the Black community. The things that we look at, whether it be on the Trending Tuesday or the regular Lessons from the Screen show, will always be looked at from the Black perspective. So keep that in mind, because we need more minds shaped into that perspective and trying to do things that we need done for ourselves. So with that in mind, again, thank you guys for listening. And remember to tune in to the Freedom Train Radio. We have the app that's available that you can get from the website. It's in the Google Play Store. Sorry, it's not available on iTunes yet. We have the live internet radio. And we have more shows coming up. Thank you. And I will see you guys for the next episode of Lessons from the Screen.